Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
Born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrews.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. Bless you, bless you, bless you. I am your host of tonight's Sister to Sister. My name is Sister Ashley, and I'm going to read you a scripture. Blessed are you, O Lord God of our ancestors. You are worthy of praise. Hallelujah, and raised high above all others forever. Blessed is your glorious and holy reputation, worthy of praise, and raised high above all others forever. Blessed are you in your glorious holy temple, worthy of hymns, and honored above all others forever. Blessed are you sitting on the winged creatures, looking down into the farthest depths, worthy of praise and raised high above all others forever. Blessed are you on your royal throne, worthy of hymns and raised high above all others forever. Blessed are you in the dome of the sky, worthy and honor forever. The prayer of Azariah and the hymn of the three young men. Hallelujah. Bless you all. Greetings. Thank you so much for the sound checks. Sister Deira, that was for you. and all my sisters. Thank you for the tens coming in. Let's jump to Georgia. Mother Jennifer, let's get a sound check.
Shalom and blessings to you, Sister Ashley. Blessings to all the daughters of Zion. It's an honor to be here once again for another episode of Sister to Sister. And blessings to the in-house listening audience that you have there, Sister Ashley. I can hear you very well. I pray everyone can hear me, and that's all I have for now. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Yahweh, Almighty Yahweh, we give you glory. We acknowledge you. You are our maker, our creator. Because of you, we live and move and have our being. We acknowledge the Father in all ways, everything that we do. With all my heart, I'm so grateful. With all my soul, I'm so grateful. Break the unbreakable, Yahweh. Let hope live forever. Let faith prevail. I believe in you. Don't fail, Israel. There's power in your name. Hallelujah. To my husband, who's wonderful, solid in the word, I thank him so much for all the direction he's ever given me, answers for my soul, times that he's fasted and sought the Father for me, directions that he's given me in my life. I'm committed to my husband to the death. I'm committed to Israel to the death. I will often say that when someone says, bless you, love you, Sister Ashley, I say, to the death, hallelujah, to the death, and I mean it. May we reign with him. Hallelujah. May we endure to the end. I always ask the Father, don't take my mind that I may always praise you. Don't take my tongue that I may lift you up. Don't take my hands that I may serve you. Don't take my body that I be a servant to your saints. Please keep me. You are the keeper of my soul. Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. I'm encouraged. I got a lot of things tonight, and it's all spread out here on my desk, and I don't know what's going to come first or last or how it's going to go. Got some awesome testimonies and emails. Thank you so much for your letters of support, your prayers. Please, if you are righteous, if you are praying, if you are fasting, please continue to lift up Pastor Dow. Please continue to lift up Elder Rufus, Elder Donnie, the leaders, Elder Becker. Lift them up and call them by name. I don't think you quite understand how important it is that they be where they are in our lives, in order for you to be where you are. There is an order. Hallelujah. Satan seeks to smite the shepherd, and we must cover him. Don't just focus on you and your prayers, okay? Hallelujah. Blessed be the Most High Yah's name. Hey, thank you to the communities, to the community women who surrender themselves and submit themselves into the leadership, and to the women who assign you any jobs or delegate anything over your lives. Thank you for striving and trying. Hallelujah. A phenomenon is happening on the earth, and it is the Most High gathering his remnant. It is a phenomenon for black people to wake up. There's a few things that encourage me to the point of tears, and one of them is to see melanated people find their Yah. And I don't mean just confess their Yah, right? Because even their white masters did that. I mean find their Yah and break chains and break yokes. Hallelujah. May the Most High Yah get glory out of all of your lives. Thank you for tuning in. Double honor to the mothers. Hallelujah. Those with age and experience, bless you all. Thank you so much for your ears. Hallelujah. Can't forget to thank our shepherd for an amazing Shabbat message and for every time that he's ever set himself apart to study and fast for us. You can tell, you know, he was away for a few days and he came out the box swinging. You see how important the mental focus is, you know, the meditation is, the rest is. I just pray that he never loses focus, he never loses strength. I pray that every leech in his life dry up. Hallelujah. So, double honor, my shepherd, if you ever hear this, and to anyone who submits to you, hallelujah, I'm behind you 100%. And as you said in 2007, I got it wrote down, anybody with me is going to the kingdom. Hallelujah. I ain't giving up. I ain't backing down. I ain't stopping for nothing. 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 And I don't fear making that statement because I know my oppressor too. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, thanks for tuning in again, for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. For listening to me and always supporting the show. I need you. Hallelujah. You and me and you, tribal mentality. Go ahead and give your heart.
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley. It's a blessing and an honor to be here, and I do need you as well. I just want to give praise to the Most High Yah for continuing to keep me during this dead season, for keeping all of us, and just really been reflecting this week on when we first came together as a community here in Georgia, you know, the obstacles that we faced in the very beginning. And, you know, I'm looking at the community now, and I'm looking at the fact that the Father had his hand on the community the whole time, and we're finally seeing the fruit of our prayers coming to pass in a lot of different areas, in the unity of the people, the building up of the community, you know, the love between the brothers and the love between the sisters. So I just want to say that it really is an honor to be kept by him, because I know it has only been him that has kept us and has given us the enduring substance that we've needed. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his commitment to the Most High Yah. You know, just, again, looking back when we first started, how he's been so patient with the people of Yah, been so patient in teaching us just how to endure and how to continue to trust Yah, no matter what things look like, and for leading not only this community, but leading his family and loving Israel the way that Yah requires him to love Israel. So it's an honor to see where we are right now in this community, and without our head, without Elder Rufus, without his submission to Yah first and foremost, without his submission to our shepherd, Pastor Dow, none of this would be possible. And to our pastor, I just want to say, you know, the heart of our pastor is unlike any other. I've never seen another pastor with a heart like Pastor Dow. The commitment that he has to serve Yah, the love that he has in his heart for Yah so that he can love Yah's people. And I know I say this every week, but it never becomes old to me. It never gets old to me. I'm just blessed to know that, you know, Pastor stood with very few people in the beginning. And many times he's stood alone when it's been unpopular. So blessings to you, Pastor. Blessings to your family. Without you, we would not be where we are. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I assume, and this is totally just a thought that hit me when you're talking, Mother Jennifer, I assume that Pastor Dow has felt some form of kick from 100% of the people in his life. Because when you reprove much, right, and you correct much, you're going to get meat back with opposition or just even, you know, manifested self-hatreds. You know, when he's got to love us more than we hate ourselves. So talk about standing alone. That is pretty, it's pretty powerful when you walk it and it is you and it's his lot in his life. Yeah, hey, kudos, you know, I stand in awe. So let's jump to a few links. This is cool. Of course, I'm not going to post all these links, but Sister Aya did something for me. We have a lot of ways that you can find us and stay connected with us, and I got them all in email form. Sister Ashley Miles, I just kicked it to you just in case your husband wants it, but, you know, it's just the email of all links, just straight links, and I'm sure he's got them all, but it's a quick reference. It's kind of cool. So our ministry sites, you know, is straightway.com and straightwaytruth.com. Check us out there. We have Facebook. We have Help Meets on YouTube. We have Rumble. Okay, Straightway Help Meets is on Rumble, Pastor's on Rumble, Straightway Airs channel, our children's on Rumble. We have Vimeo for our children, vimeo.com/Straightway Airs. You can check out our Shabbat messages on straightaudio.com. You can get them, MP3. I have CastBox, I think Jordan, Brother Jordan Salmi, I hope I'm right in saying this, but I think he started that, and now... you know, when my husband found it, it's an app on your phone that basically every Shabbat message is on. And Deacon Bell started posting every Shabbat, and every, I think all the Pastor Corys are on there too. So I listen to them straight out of CastBox. You know, we have Straightway Kansas, Straightway Live, Straightway News, Straightway Tech Team, Straightway University, Brother Daryl, Teacher Eric Robinson, Straightway Georgia with Elder Rufus, Straightway Kentucky with Elder Mitchell, Brother Daniel Muir, KGB 94 TV, Spiritual Combat, Straightway Canada. There's a lot, right? Pause. Can I get a shalom from my audience?
Shalom!
It's a little low-key tonight, but I got some good vocals out there. All right, so Straightway Canada, Straightway South Carolina, United. I'm almost done. Straightway Northeast, which is Tennessee, right? Northeast? Straightway Texas, Straightway Georgia East, The Rock. Jordan Salmi, of course, on YouTube. Check him out. Straight Jamming. Hallelujah. That's Brother John McNabb, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you subscribe and you just get all the videos, you almost forget, like, wait a second, let me give credit to my brother. And then, of course, Pastor's on Patreon. Hallelujah. So he posts on Patreon. You can find him patreon.com/PastorDal/post. Hallelujah. So I want to get that out there in case you are interested in finding anything else going on. So I have Sister Aya's links. Let me read an email. Shalom and blessings. I praise Yah for speaking through you, Sister Ashley, Mom, Jennifer. All the episodes of Sister to Sister are fire, but these last two have really caused me to dig deeper in my relationship with the Father. I'm more determined to seek Him. I'm more hungry. It's like the fight within me to press and endure has been reignited, and I can recognize areas in my life where I've been very lazy. The music that is played during the broadcast has really been strengthening me and helping me to also be more transparent with my Master and hold nothing back. All glory to the Father. Bless you both for your labor, your diligence, and obedience to the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. Thank you, sister. You've always been faithful, sending in your questions and staying connected, so thank you so much. Mother Jennifer, any announcements?
No, ma'am. I want to add, though, you know, regarding Patreon and YouTube, to for everyone to really pay attention and subscribe to Patreon if you are not already. If you notice, you know, the Shepherd's Pattern, he is moving away from putting so much content on YouTube. He's really putting, you know, the meaty content. It's all meaty. We understand that. But, you know, he's putting the content that is really meaty on Patreon. So if you are not subscribed, then please do. One day, you know, there won't be anything on YouTube. It'll all be on Patreon. So please go and subscribe. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, so I woke with something just really heavy in my spirit that I knew I needed to talk about. And I'm going to have a heart-to-heart for a moment. It's not related to the show at all. You know how even Jesus spoke openly a certain way to so many people, and then off to the side he had a few, right, disciples that he spoke real with, raw with, in parables. And we have records of that. And for the majority of us, we all have that dynamic. We have an open format where it's a lot of people. It's a social environment. For me, Mother Jennifer, it's the show or whatever. You have this dialogue openly. And then you have the heart-to-hearts. And then you have what's in your heart. And I'm going to share what's in my heart and what I woke with on a heart-to-heart level to as many ears that are listening. I'm just going to tell the honest truth. I'm going to start out of Revelations. I'll key in on the word testimony. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yah and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And our favorite, my favorite, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, because we love not our lives unto the death. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war with them, CNN on the word testimony. It is my sincere heart's cry that we would never forget our testimony, that we would share it one with another, that we would not be dry trees. A long time ago, my early vision for the show, and especially the title, Sister to Sister, my early vision was I wanted a dynamic where I could take information from many sisters and be the mediator to many other sisters. You know, a trustworthy place where we could have the information, we could share the testimonies, and we could hold this valuable message and just pass it along to any and all that would be blessed. And in order to manifest that, we have to have testimonies. Last week, even at the end of the show, I said, hey, y'all, send in your testimonies. Let me use them all dead season. You know, let me play some music in between. Let's exalt our Father. Let's lift heavy hands. You know, let's talk about the goodness of y'all, what he's done. Man, I get crickets. And in my heart of hearts, and I've told Mother Jennifer this, if I relied on any of you for a show, I'd never have one. And it's okay, because on the flip side, we're doing it the way y'all obviously want us to do. I reached out to a sister this week, and I said, can you send me a testimony about this, this, and this? And she was like, yes, ma'am. It was really in my heart to even do. Hey, and just like Paul says, I speak not ever to condemn you, never to condemn you. I'm literally just talking to you all as friends. If I beckon from this microphone that you would glorify the Father and send in a testimony, where is it at? And then some of you are probably like, maybe I'm going to wait on somebody else, you know what I mean? Like, been around, you shared your testimony, and that's okay too. But some of you got a burning testimony you never shared. And it's a prime opportunity, and so I thought maybe if I talked this way and if I ask this way, perhaps you'll send it. Not because I'm condemning you, not because it's mandatory, you know, because I'm not even speaking at any single person. I'm simply saying from a host perspective, we're producing these shows on our own week after week, beckoning that things come in so that we can benefit the whole, you know. And we'll continue to go on and be just as, you know, profitable as the Father needs us to be or wants us to be, because it's all for his glory. And I do want to ask you once again in this manner, in this way, that if you have a testimony you want to share, you think it will benefit, remember, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. And how is it that any of us can just hold a testimony and not let it burst out, you know? And Satan is, I know his principality and his powers and his presence. I know he's trying to sweep through. I know he's trying to cause heaviness, distrust, mistrust, withdraw you, make you silent, right? Keep you from asking questions, keep you, you know, make you afraid of being transparent. Then here comes his other plan to send a thorn in the flesh to get you offended, right? And then here comes his other plan, keep you offended. Then you have more of a reason not to speak. And more that happens, the more and more you're around with the Father, you don't want to talk because you know your wickedness, right? And you know, like, man, ain't that right, Amanda? How much you want to get on the microphone and talk, right? Will you self-reflect all week long? You ain't trying to get on here and lead nobody, right? You stay in your place. You want to learn. Yeah. Take it all in, you know? And I the more, I really want to hear from y'all, you know? And believe it or not, we'll still pick through it. If it needs to just be a hallelujah and we rejoice with you and blow the shofar on another night, sending you a reply on an email and saying thank you, and maybe it don't make the cut. But just if this reaches anybody, please, I ought not have to beg you and pump and prime you for a testimony of Jesus Christ. It's like if y'all had a voice from heaven looking down at all his children. I can imagine, I'm a school teacher, right? So I got this classroom of children. Where are your papers at? Right? told you turn them in. It's 3 o'clock. But the father looking down going, where's your testimony after all I've done? Where's my glory out of what I'm doing for you? Where are your tears that I'm bottling up? And I'm healing you. I'm reaching you on a level that no other God can do. Pull out Psalms 96. Where is it? No other God can do. Thank you, Cheyenne's moving for me. But I got it. I got it. Mother Jennifer, here it is. For all the gods of the nations are idols, and the Lord made the heavens. 96.5. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Different translations. All the other gods, the Most High, all of them are idols. You made the heavens. You made the heavens. You're worthy of my testimony. Hallelujah. So I pray that motivates y'all. Only if he burns something in you. If he doesn't, don't be motivated by the wrong power. I would never want to initiate, any condemnation. All right? Mother Jennifer, you want to add to that?
I just wanted to say, I'm glad you brought up the fact that, that we know that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So not only the testimony that you have, not only is it continuing to set you free more and more, but it's helping someone else out there as well. You know, and we say words like, you know, Father, we give you all glory. And we don't want it to become a cliche. We want to truly, really give him the glory. And you can tell that, you know, there's just a different dynamic going on, in some areas, I'll say. When you look at the levels of faith being manifested, you know, levels of faith being shown, not really sure if it's, a fear or, just, I don't know, being, like you said, Sister Ashley, being embarrassed about being transparent. But it's still a level of faith to be transparent and to put yourself out there and to really speak on what Yah has done for you. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Yes, absolutely. And I understand the battle. You know, I understand that there's actually more people that you can't trust than those that you can. I understand it's a very straight and narrow way. It's the eye of a needle. I understand. We gotta tighten up, all right? You find your friends and your core. Tighten up the bond, right? Tighten up holiness. Are there actually things that you refuse to talk about? There should be. There should actually be topics that you refuse to engage in. Okay? The word says foolish and unlearned conversations avoid, or questions avoid. So some things are just flat out foolish. And you got to gain enough mental strength as a woman to make decisions for your soul. All right? It's late in the game. Time is wrapping up. And I know you've been hearing it year after year after year after year, right? We'll see. We'll see. And Pastor said, when fire falls from heaven, it's too late. Hallelujah. Hey, you know what I got tonight? I got the Willie Lynch letter. I got the Willie Lynch letter. I got some emails. I got a couple of books. I don't know if I'll go to them. I got a book called Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. And Sister Alex, you should have that. I got a book called White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. I got a verse. Let's see what else I got. I got an awesome clip from Sabbath. And I got some songs. So let's hit it. You ready? We're going to the Shabbat service 10/16/2021, Mother Jennifer. You ready?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
Hallelujah. Y'all please give me sound checks and please give ears. Let's hear what the Spirit of the Most High Yah would have you to hear. And you know the messages in our conversation and the dynamic of me and Mother Jennifer talking and playing and doing these things is really Yah ministering to you from within you, right? So he's ministering to each of you from within you, and you don't want to miss that opportunity to be close to him. Here we go. A powerful clip from Shabbat 10:16.
You can't sit there and be a habitation of devils and expect a revival to be going on with you. Y'all hear that? Yeah. We pinpoint what the real issue is. Somebody said, I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, that dwelleth no good thing. But you just exist. Uh-oh. See how we have even given legal ground by not doing nothing? We've permitted these spirits. Huh? So, don't tell me we ain't got nothing to repent for. We got plenty to repent for. But you know the main reason why we don't repent much? Because everybody else is the problem. Instead of us getting right in y'all's world, we want everybody to be right in our world. And then when everybody get right in our world, then I will be okay. That's a deception. That is a serious deception. Somebody said, I'm the one that's standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Yah. So you can't be having the devils popped all up in your spirit. The Holy Spirit got to try to wade through all that mess. Can't even get a jolt of energy from the Holy Spirit now. Too many devils. We're going to prove this too. In Tehillim 106:32, this is what Paul knew too. We come from the scripture. And they provoked wrath at the waters of Meribah. And Moses suffered on account of them. You think the people cared about Moses suffering? Because they what? His what? And he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the people as Yahweh had commanded them. Hear that? Remember the word, right? But mixed with the nations and learned their work. I'm going to ask you, what's some of the ways you've learned from the nations that you have brought it over here even after conversion? Ain't the kingdom of heaven is love, joy, peace, and happiness? Uh-oh. So where'd you learn some of these behaviors you still have today? Because be it the Holy Spirit or evil spirit, they can't function unless they have your agreement. Uh-oh. Hope y'all listen. See, they learn their works. How much have we learned from the heathen? And served their what? Idols, and they became a snare to them. You see, the idols became a snare. You know what I'm calling it? You see, anytime, y'all, what you need to do is, every time you see that word idol, you need to replace that word idol and put the word devil. And they slaughtered their sons and their daughters to what? Well, it was the demons there. You couldn't see the demons. But they did make a statue of Moloch. They did have an idol called Dagon. So, and they slaughtered their sons and their daughters to what? Every time you put that damn Christmas tree in your house, You got a demon every year. One that was already there. How many times has anybody ever repented for saying, we wish you a Merry Christmas? Have you ever repented for that? Most of you are like, no, I ain't never done it. I ain't never even thought about it. But thank God, because today is a day of salvation. Think about that. That's why you got to preach it. To bring out all the stuff that we normally wouldn't ever even think of to do.
Gotta have a preacher. Imagine. Oh my goodness. And when I started thinking about how we were in the conversation on the show, my mind was going in so many different good ways that I still wonder how it's gonna even turn out. So y'all has to wade through all this mess, right? Remember, we're not fighting alone. He's fighting with us and for us. So you have to fight through ancestral sins, ancestral curses, iniquity that binds you, demonic oppression, spirits, your emotions, your negativity, your illusions around you, your social environment, your family, everything that's from within, everything inside you, he has to fight his way through it. His mercy is amazing. Brother Jennifer, please read to Helium 106:39, which is where Pastor was reading from. Tehillim 106:39.
Thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions.
As a melanated woman, Mother Jennifer, I've never asked you this. When you came to the faith here, Straven Ministry faith and with Elder and your background, was it your first time recognizing what Israel did to get them into slavery, slave trade, captivity, everything that happened to them as a result of what they did? Were you aware of what they did, or what was your mindset?
My mindset was, not to take responsibility for what we have done as a people, but it was to look at what was done to us kind of in a victim way, not really to understand what happened, to put us in the position that we were put in. My mindset was to look at, we've been mistreated for many years, and this is continuing, and we're still being mistreated, but it was never to look at the curses that we brought upon ourselves, just like what we just read, they were defiled with their own works. I would read that, but I would not focus on the word own. They went a-whoring with their own inventions. I would not, I would read the word, but it wouldn't resonate with me at all in my heart. And so that's what's different now. Now when I read that, the word own actually stands out. But before the faith, no, ma'am, not at all.
And I'm going to read Isaiah 63. This is powerful to me, so I'm just sharing Isaiah 63:7. I'm going to read for a little bit, so y'all just try to catch what stands out to your spirit. But he says, I will mention the loving kindness of the Most High and the praises of Yah according to all that he has bestowed on us and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercy and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Whoo, Jesus. Choking up even thinking about it. What you've done for me. Now here's his heart as a father. In verse 8. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. Verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. And in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He bare them and he carried them all the days of old. Pause. Pause for a song. Hallelujah.
Broken people are here.
love the way you won't forsake broken people. Beautiful, right? I love the way, hallelujah, that you embrace broken people. So tonight we talk about freedom, but we can't talk about freedom without starting from the beginning. And the clip that we played, the song we said, it's all proof to what his people did to him. Isaiah 63:10, we continue to read the same chapter. They rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy. Whoo, Jesus. And he fought against them. Y'all know the slave trade ain't happened yet, right? You remember the days of old, Moshe and his people saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within them? That led them by the right hand of Moshe with his glorious arm, dividing the water to make himself an everlasting name. That led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they should not even stumble. As a beast that goes down to the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So he led his people to make himself a glorious name. Please look down from heaven and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and of all thy glory, where is thy zeal? And thy strength. Where is the sound of the bowels of mercy towards me? Are they restrained? Doubtless you are, my father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, And Israel, acknowledge us not. You, O Yah, are my Father, our Redeemer, and thy name is from everlasting. And O Yah, why have you made us to err from your ways and harden our heart with fear? Return, for your servant's sake, the tribes of your inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it, but for a little while our adversaries have trodden down your sanctuary. We are yours. Hallelujah. Called by your name. So before we conclude the love story, this is why I get so, I marvel and I get really overwhelmed with gratitude when it's people, though they're few, find out who they are and serve them and love them and run for them. Why? Why? Mother Jennifer, because over 300 years ago, a man stood on the bank of the James River in Virginia, sharing how and what he was going to do to the people that I'm now experiencing a phenomenon, and I'm seeing the other side. See how grateful we got to be? This arrogant asshole named Willie Lynch says, in my bag, I got a method for controlling your black slaves. And I guarantee that every one of you, if you install this correctly, it will control your slaves for at least 300 years. And any member of your family and any overseer can use it. I've outlined a number of differences among the slaves and made the differences bigger. I use fear, I use distrust, and I use envy for control. Brother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, you know, Pastor talked a lot about the ways that we learned from the world, you know, the things that we practiced before the faith. And he brought such practical clarity, you know, when he said, how many, and he does this all the time, how many have repented for this? You know, how many have repented for these behaviors and these actions? And so how many have really paid attention to the Willie Lynch letter and paid attention to the actions and the characteristics that, you know, they have in their own lives today? As women of color, you know, how many have actually paid attention to your behaviors, the division that you operate in, the lack of trust that you operate in? You know, how many really trace that back to Willie Lynch and repent for that mindset? Because it has done what it set out to do. And so when you see these behaviors in you, you have to recognize it as such. Sister Ashley?
Ezekiel says it. You trusted in your own beauty. You played the harlot. You poured out fornications. You decked high places with colors. You played the whore. You wore fair jewels of gold and silver. You took broader garments and you covered them, and you covered yourself in my oil and my incense, my meat, my flour, my oil, my honey. You did it. All right, so let's jump over. Willie Lynch, The Making of a Slave. Man, it burns me. He says, And let me pause for a second because, Mother Jennifer, let's bring a balance. Anybody could be new to listening tonight. And the way that we talk about racism, if you want to say, or these types of issues is in a very freeing way. It's not the same as anywhere else that you would hear. In page 86 here, Mother Jennifer, in this book called White Fragility and Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism, it says the idea that talking about racism itself is racist has always struck me as an odd concept. The idea that talking about racism is itself racist has always struck me as a hide. We are not being racist to talk about these things. Mother Jennifer, bring a balance.
Absolutely. There's an awareness, actually, that is being brought. It's not a cover-up. When you continue to conceal things and to cover things up, then that will bring more ignorance. So we're discussing it because we are free, and we want others to be free as well, and we're growing even more and more in that freedom. And this is the first ministry that that I even know of that will attack the subject of racism in such a righteous and true way so that people can really be free. I'm not talking about just the melanated people. I'm talking about all colors, all sides. You know, every single aspect is discussed, and that's what I love so much about this ministry. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Y'all said no one pitied you. Look in your life. Does anybody pity you, really? Right? Does anybody pity you? I mean, the birth and the nativity of your land is Canaan. Your father's an Amorite. Your mother's a Hittite. Nobody pays attention. Who's going to have compassion on you? Right? You was cast in the open field. You was loathed. Right? And the day you was born, who cared about you when you was polluted in your own blood? I said unto you, live! Jesus! Hallelujah! Live! Y'all be free! Y'all hear me? Man! This man Willie said, we're going to separate you. This is what we're going to do. We're going to put you in color. We're going to put you in shades. We're going to put you in intelligence and size and sex. We're going to divide you into size of plantations. We're going to scatter you amongst owners. You're going to live in the east, west, north, and south. It don't matter if you got fine hair, coarse hair, tall or short. We're going to scramble your mind. And this is mind control. Because now you have a list of differences that you've never had before. And now you get up on this ship. And you have optical illusions before you. But he says, hey, I will assure you that you will distrust the stronger. And you'll trust and envy and respect and admire the weaker. And don't forget, white man and whoever, right? Overseer, don't forget, you got to pitch the old black man versus the young black man. And you got to pitch the young black man against the old black man. And you got to pitch the dark skin versus the light skin.
Yes, sir.
And you got to put the female versus the male. You got to do that. And you got to have white servants oversee blacks. If this is used intensely for 1 year, he says, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful to each other. Let's make a slave, he says. Let's make a slave. So he breaks it all down. He says, we're going to pick a black one, then we're going to get a pregnant woman, and then we're going to get this baby, and we're going to break them like a horse, and we're going to create this dependency, and they'll have a tendency to seek their customary freedom, right? Because when you were given freedom to call upon the Almighty God, what happened? You went a-whoring, right? Served other gods, worship demons. But he says, hey, to the white man, you can't rest because they'll sleep when you're awake, and you'll be awake when they sleep. That's what we need, right? So they're dangerous near the family house. And it's going to require too much labor to watch them away from the house. So we got to fix this. How we do it? What does he say right here? Break them from one form of mental life to another. Keep the body and take the mind. Break the will to resist and pay little attention to the generation of the original. What does that mean? Don't pay attention to the ones getting off the boat. Concentrate on the future generation. Right? That's why I say it's a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon happening. He says, let's do a complete reversal of the mind. See, mind control captivates your mind. This is an octopus-type spirit with tentacles of stress and anxiety and fear and worry. It goes down into the depths of who you are, and it makes someone else's mind present inside of yours. It controls you from the inside. So you make decisions based on what someone else would say. You speak according to what someone else would say. Right? Why? Because if you break the female, you break the offspring. You keep the body, you take the mind. So she will break the offspring in her early years of development. And when the offspring's old enough to work, she'll hand it right to you. A complete reversal of the mind. So you take the female, you run some tests. Who's going to submit? Who looks good? Bring them in. Push the old out. Test them in every way. Year after year, year after year, year after year. Lash them, whip them, hang them, tar them, feather them. Beat them down. If she shows any sign of resistance and submitting completely to your will, do not hesitate. Use the bullwhip on her to extract the last bit of resistance out of her. Now we have a pastor. 2021, it's a pastor. Who is this man? Why is he talking this way? Why is he raising up? Why? He's my enemy. He's out to destroy me. Tear me down from the inside. Take away my family. No, ma'am. It's a cursed mindset. Willie Lynch says we reverse nature by burning and pulling a civilized nigger apart. Bullwhip him to the point of death. All in her presence. By her being left alone, unprotected, with the male image destroyed, this ordeal caused her to move from her psychological dependent state into a frozen independent state, which I call trauma. In this frozen psychological state of independence, she will raise her male and female offspring in completely reverse roles. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we break free from this. That's what we do here. That's what we do here. We submit to the man. We are authority over the children. Let the boys be men. Let them love their fathers. Take in the single woman. Love her. Don't be envious and jealous. It's Christ's mind, right? We're seeking his ways. Mother Jennifer, bring the balance.
Sister Ashley, we're seeing this is such a deeply rooted, wicked tactic, and we're really seeing the fruit of it. Even when you were speaking, I could see how this thing is still manifesting today. You see, you know, when you look in the world, you see that there are so many single mothers. The boys are being raised by women. The boys are being raised to be effeminate. The girls are being raised to be masculine because the women, the mothers, are actually, excuse me, masculine. Even when you were talking about the comparison, women are so quick to compare. You know, I'm speaking about melanated women. You know, when it comes to the hair, you know, a woman will think my hair doesn't look like hers. The texture is wrong. The length is wrong. The color is wrong. And so now you have hair weaves, and you've got you know, just all these different tactics. You got hair coloring. You've got relaxers. You've got things like this that was never even meant to be used on our bodies at all. We compare the shade of skin. You know, if you're not a light hue, then you're not accepted. You're not acceptable. And then you've got the ones who are the browner, darker color in skin, comparing themselves from the lighter ones. We can't trust the lighter ones. You know, these are things that I've heard when I was growing up. Even in the way that you speak, if you speak, if you're well-spoken, then you could be singled out. If you don't use quote-unquote proper grammar, you can be singled out. So it's a comparison in so many different areas. But just like Pastor says, how many of us have really repented for these things? Because you'll never, ever learn to love yourself if you haven't repented for comparing yourself to someone else and hating someone else because of the texture of their hair or the shade of their skin or by the way that they speak. You know, you'll never be able to be unified with another woman if you've got all this division in your heart that has stemmed from this deeply rooted, wicked tactic. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Now we're back here shouting, ready to throw stuff, flip stuff over. It's about freedom. Remember, tonight's about freedom. We're going somewhere. We barely touched the surface. I got emails laid out. Y'all don't be bothered by my tone. Don't be bothered by me shouting, okay? Just hear my spirit, my heart. I ain't angry. I'm in full self-control. I got fire shut up in my bones. But what did Ezekiel say? How weak is your heart? Seeing that you do all these things, the work of an imperished, poorish woman.
Yeah.
And as a wife, you commit adultery.
Yeah.
You take strangers instead of your own husband.
Yeah.
It's laid out in Ezekiel 16.
Come on,
we paying the price.
Come on.
Wherefore, O harlot, because of your filth was poured out, your nakedness was discovered through your whoredoms of your lovers, and with all your idols, pause, with all your demons, and your abominations, by the blood of your children, which you did give unto them. Behold, I will gather all your lovers, and all that you have taken pleasure in, and all them that you have loved, and all them that you even hated, and I'll gather them against you, and will discover your nakedness. Man, and I will judge you as a woman that breaks and sheds blood. Breaks the marriage covenant and sheds blood. Wow. And so when you go, man, why I got this on me? Why I got this going on? I don't understand. Do you know what you did? Do you know what your people have done? It goes way past how you feel. We get caught up in how we feel. We justify ourselves like we are not deserving of what we got on our minds. What does this email say? Shalom, blessings, Mother Jennifer. I'm giving you a broken scenario. Don't worry. Keep freedom. Keep freedom as your title tonight, Sister Aya. It's freedom, but it ain't going to sound like it at first. Here's another example. Mother Jennifer just laid it all out, how we still walking in all this. It didn't take long. I dived into the emails, pulled out stuff we had read before. You ready? Shalom and blessings, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. My name is. Thank you so much for your dedication and devotion to the Most High Yah. Thank you for the love and labor that you pour into the show each week. I'm writing to you because I'm in a situation and I don't know what to do. My master's not in the truth, right? It's a black woman, black man. A couple of months ago, he told me that he had an affair with a woman. And the world says affair, right? And that it was a one-time thing. And that he didn't want to be with her. He was going to break it off. So he said that he did. But I didn't say anything else about the situation when I got back from the feast, right? She's with the Most High Yah. He then told me that he was still seeing this woman and that he was pretty much not going to stop seeing her. And if I wanted to leave, then leave, because he was not going to let her go. And then he proceeded to tell me that he didn't want to be with me anymore. All right? We don't know the background. I'm building on a broken situation. That's all. He also was telling me not to come back home when I was at the feast. And now it's started to take a turn for the worse. He's getting to the point where he doesn't even want to provide for me or his children. He's never home. He may stay home one day out of an entire week. He doesn't pay bills. Thank you and bless you so much for taking time out to read my email. And reply, abundant blessings to you and your master's home. You know what I said? Brace yourself. This is my email. I typed, brace yourself. This isn't what you may expect, but it's direction. As a Yah-fearing woman, I believe it would be very foolish to direct you or misdirect you at this time. Your emotions are stirred. Your mind is in shock and trauma. Your life is changing swiftly without any security but Yah. You will not find anyone on earth or in this ministry that can help you more than Yah at this turbulent time. He is our comforter. Pour out your heart like water and seek him first. He is the keeper of souls. If we guide you in the middle of this emotional storm and then the storm settles or things shift again and again, then we've wasted time and meddled into matters that we can't control. And as fragile as this situation is, we love you enough to let Yah sort this out. Do you have relationships inside the ministry that you can gain strength from, and do you have a friend to reach out to? Good news? Yes, she does. She talks with a sister from Florida all the time, and she has a few more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I wanted to read that reply because, man, wasn't that pulling your heartstrings? You want to reach out and touch somebody and help, right? What are you going to say? Tomorrow, in 1 minute, out the next. Tomorrow might be DHS. Next day might be a grocery store bank robbery. Next day might be, he took me back, everything's great.
Right.
Right?
That's it.
This is what we're talking about. This is the brokenness of the homes.
Yeah.
Why? here. And what about the children? What about the children? Y'all come from broken homes. Y'all know. Who cares about them? A decline in parental involvement, an increase in peer pressure all around, a decline in nurturing, a decline in any teacher's expectations for the students, and who the hell cares about the black male child? By the time he's nine, he's done. Who? Nobody, you know, this is why we say homeschool, 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 because it's different learning styles. You can coach a child's confidence and he can soar. They can all be good at everything. All right, I'm going to the book, Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. What do we look for in class? Behaviors. Ignoring teachers, carrying on discussions that are unrelated to subjects, listening to music on headphones, reading things that are not necessary, cracking jokes, making fun of other students, throwing paper, playing more video games and phone games than any dialogue or discussion or conversation, attempting to cheat on all exams, and sleeping in class. This is what a large majority of black males are known for. Why? Because no one's paying attention to them. No one's paying attention to them. What does it say here? Page 58. I forgot the other page, Alex. I didn't say it to you. Page 58. Mothers are not supported by fathers in encouraging domestic responsibility. What is this man saying this whole time? Dr. Jawanza. Thank you, Tanasa. What is he saying? He's saying the black man, the black man, the black man. Get the black man. Right? Put him as the coach, put him as the father, put him in the home, put him as the lead, right? And we happen to do that. We happen to have that here. It says mothers lack knowledge of masculinity, right? They're not men. Mothers use their sons to replace an absent husband. Let's see. What year was this? This was 2005. Still looks like Willie Lynch to me. Mothers hold their daughters to a higher standard, a double standard that exists. It's not healthy for boys. Daughters are taught to cook and sew and clean, and boys are just go play, go play, go play, go play, go play. Move. Get out of the way. Mothers protect their sons from racism. Mothers don't believe their sons will be able to become self-sufficient in racist society, so they fear she's going to rear him and to be more dependent on her. She fears for him, right? Teaching that strong black woman. Let's go back to Willie Lynch, though. Right? I'm not done with the emails. Mother Jennifer, you want to add anything?
I do, Sister Ashley. You know, just thinking about how dangerous it can be for a single woman raising raising a male child when she has been hurt by other men in her life, and she's not dealt with that. She's not reconciled that at all. She is going to more than likely raise that child to be exactly what she wants him to be based on her hurts, based on her emotions, her fears, the things that she has not overcome. She's going to raise that child to be exactly what she thinks that she needs in her life. And so he's going to grow up to be very sensitive to other women. He's going to be afraid to speak up for himself. He's going to be afraid to show any type of resistance when it comes to anything that is wrong, you know, anything that a woman is speaking is wrong. He will, he'll be a coward, excuse me, in that area. So I just want to say it's very dangerous, women, if you have not dealt with your past and you are trusted to raise a boy and you don't have a male in your life, you really need to deal with your past. Sister Ashley.
And this is not just about the black woman, of course, because it's, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, right? And every single person, every broken person that y'all ever walked by and said live and called them out of the covenant, which praise y'all for the understanding that we have as a people through the manifested doctrine and gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are all and can be all called into one Yah, right? But as a woman from the other perspective, for example, you can't hide your racism. You can't deny white supremacy, right? If you have bondage and oppression and chains over melanated black, Hebrew, African American, whatever you want to call them, then you have white supremacy. And it's so subliminal. And you could, and the voice would say, well, I'm free of racism, or I'll be the judge of whether I'm racist or not, or my suffering and my family and my Viking heritage relieves me of racism, or if I'm a good person, I can't be racist, or I have friends that have color, so I can't be racist, you know. If you knew me, you would understand. Now, racists are bad individuals, so, you know, it's unkind to point out racism or to challenge me. I know the best way to challenge racism. I'm entitled to remain absolutely comfortable at all times. I have no defense in me when others come in the room, right? I can have a conversation when I want and how I want. That's white supremacy, right? So we know we're aware of both sides, and we're not condemning. We're saying jump back to Psalms 106. Read it, Mother Jennifer, please, verse 39. That's all we're saying.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, Sister Ashley, I moved my spot. I'm coming.
106:39. Yes, ma'am. Let me see.
Psalm 106:39. It says, thus they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions.
Common English Version says they made themselves unclean by what they did, and they prostituted themselves by their own actions. Okay? So now, boom, carry out the curse, bring over the ships. Here we go. Get off the ship. Mind control. This is what we're going to do to you. And create what he says is a orbiting cycle. That's what William Lynch said. You create an orbiting cycle. So by the time I hate even saying the word just because of how disrespectful it is, but bear with me, by the time a nigger boy reaches the age of 16, he's soundly broken in, he's ready for a long life of sound and efficient work, and the reproduction of a unit of a very good labor force is within him. So you throw the nigger female into a frozen psychological state of independence, you kill the protective male image, you create a submissive, dependent mind of the male slave, totally dependent on someone else to think for him, totally under mind control. And then what does Willie Lynch say? We have created a orbiting cycle that turns on its own axis forever. Here's the key. Unless a phenomenon occurs and reshifts the position of the male and female slaves. Straightway is a phenomenon. So it says.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He is worthy of all praise. Over a period of time, if I may, Willie Lynch says, touch some original historical base, they advise us that the best way to deal with the phenomenon is to shave off the brutes, right? Y'all know who that is? Mental history. Shave it off. Shave off his past and his history. Forget your freaking language. Right? Dress like me. Forget your name. This is the way we're going. This is what you're doing. And create a multiplicity of illusions so that each illusion will twirl in its own orbit. Look, I would say I'm maybe at the halfway point for the show, so y'all got to bear with me. I might go long because I gotta read what I got in front of me. And I got to go here. Here's an article. Alex is titled Failure. The biggest illusion created by society. Failure is the state of not meeting your expected outcome or desire. Isn't that what slavery was about? Nothing was good enough. Right? It burns in your conscience. Nothing's good enough. But when this happens, the natural response is what? Sadness and pain. The pain of failure, it says here, is even worse than physical pain and more damaging. If we stick to the definition of failure, right, it says, suppose you were playing a very tough video game. You go out there, you try to kill the enemy in the video game, and it kills you. Now, would that make you cry? No. So he says, no matter how many times you fail in a video game, it won't bring the same amount of pain. You would simply press replay, try it again, press replay, try it again. But technically, you have failed, right? So what's the difference, he says? The difference is your guilt. For every real-life failure, like losing your job, like getting rejected from someone, There's a societal sack of disgrace attached to it. But he's going somewhere. This is nice. You don't feel bad about your deaths in a game because no one's labeling you. But when you fail in real life, you become ugly, poor, rejected, weak. Proverbs and bywords. The society that is you, the society that you and I have created has many templates. It's not failing that hurts. Okay? Check out how he explains this. I'm going to forward a second. You are not what other people think you are. You are not even what you think you are. Right? You are experiencing thoughts and feelings. Right? Now, everything you experience that happens within you, if you think about it, it is factually correct, right? Because it's happening. But it's safe to say that what happens within you, you are in charge of. What other people say that you are, they do something that induces a feeling or a thought to you. They control you if you let them, right? But despite what others say, your individuality will remain inside of you. Who you are, you have to know who you are with an experience from your creator. Seek him for it if you don't know it. You know, I had a young girl, my goodness, she's probably 13 or 14, text me this week, dealing with great rejection, caught up in the public school, a black girl, right? How do you tell her? How do you teach her to love herself when she's perpetuating this curse over and over? We won't talk about the crossbreeding that they did. Right? We won't talk about the multiplicity of illusions creating literally, Willie Lynch said, like those floating balls inside of a vacuum. You know, you turn the vacuum on, the balls are like just everywhere. That's the mind. It's the mind. It's scrambled. So what does he say here? You know, language is a peculiar institution. It leads to the heart of a people. So the more a foreigner knows about the language of another country, the more he's able to move through all the levels of that society. So that would be a warning, wouldn't it, Willie? So he says, therefore, if the foreigner is an enemy of the country, to the extent that he knows the body of the language, to the extent that the country is vulnerable to him, he can attack. He can attack and invade. Right? He's no more a slave. You can't call him a fool any longer. If you teach him your language, he'll know all your secrets. Then he'll, teach him how to read. Then he'll perform you. Then he'll get his own crops. Then he'll get his own land. Then he'll build his own house, get his own community. Right? Pull together. Then we can't have that. It's still such a push to deny. What about this? Let's go to the next email, Mother Jennifer.
Oh, Sister Ashley, before I read the email, I just want to say that I am I'm so happy to be a part of this ministry because, you know, you're learning, we're learning the truth of, you know, why we are the way we are, what has happened, what has shaped us, what we've grown up in. And in the world, you just, you know, there's never a push to teach the people these things. So I just want to say that I'm so blessed to be in a ministry who exposes the truth. You ready for the email?
Thank you for asking me. I got to play a song I love. Y'all going to be like, this white woman loves this song. Yes. Yes. I love this song. Okay? Now, we know in a time that this was written, y'all already know, they're marching in Mississippi. All right? Watch this. Let's go. It's so true, though. It's so true. Hold on. Come on, y'all. Ain't going to let nobody turn me around.
Ain't going to let nobody turn me around, ain't gonna let nobody turn me around.
All the way. Hallelujah. All right. Well, y'all know we gonna go. We go back and forth from that type of courageous mind that says, I'm not going to let nobody turn me around, to more emails of more brokenness, right? Mother Jennifer, you got the one with the school teacher?
Yes, ma'am, I do. It says, I have been in the truth for about a year. I have just left the Christian church and now making changes in all areas of my life to live for the Most High God. I learned just this week from my 5-year-old daughter that she was sexually assaulted by a male teacher in Sunday school. I have a lot of anger with the man who touched her inappropriately, as well as guilt for not protecting her. How do I get over this hurt and this anger? I know that I need to forgive, but how do I? How do I know I have forgiven? Is going to the police, meaning that I'm not trusting Yah to take care of this? Also, my sweet little princess, how can I help her heal from what has happened to her when she's only 5 years old, to where she can actually understand it? I'm also telling her it's not her fault and that I believe her. I appreciate all your wisdom that you will share. I just want this curse broken off of sexual abuse. My daughter is the 4th generation of women in my family that this has happened to, and many others in between. Sister Ashley.
Next email. It's called Entitled. Can you read that, Nadia? Say it loud.
I've been to hell before.
I've been to hell before. Now, this is not your typical died and went to hell experience. This is live in person. Y'all ready? It was the worst thing that I could have ever imagined. I'm going to read fast because it's long, y'all. When I woke up, I told my husband I had the worst dream ever. My husband's a great Yah-fearing man and a leader, but when I was sent to hell, he was there too, brutally raping me, okay? My experience in hell started with a regular scenario. I was with my husband and my children at a hotel. Y'all might, if you have young children and you don't want them to hear this, I understand. If you want to remove them, please, at this time. My husband offered me CBD oil drops for my severe allergies. The CBD oil was different because it contained a small percentage of THC. The reason for him having access at the time to CBD oil is because it was something we used for our son who had ADD and ADHD. We gave him the CBD with no THC, and it started off working great, but he slowly became immune, so we're trying to find something stronger, and this is what my husband came across. So I went straight to sleep after taking this CBD oil myself. Now, in a few hours, I started to feel the effects of the CBD oil, and I was having hallucinations. While I was having hallucinations, my husband led me to the bathroom, closed the door so our children wouldn't wake up. While in the bathroom, I began speaking to the Most High about what I knew was about to happen. I asked him, the Most High, in front of my husband, please don't let this happen. Please don't let this happen. Unless it's your will, please don't let it happen. Then my husband tells me, start taking off your clothes. I do. I ask him, please don't do this. Don't do this. But he still proceeds. When my clothes are off, I'm standing there crying. My husband tells me, lay on the bathroom floor. I do. My body's obeying his every single command, although my spirit is trying to escape from this situation. The effects from the CBD oil are so strong. I couldn't scream. I couldn't fight. He was rough. I'm skipping. As he was doing this, I'm crying. I'm looking him in his eyes. I'm begging him to stop. I'm repeating, Father, please watch this. And I continue to talk to the Father, saying, forgive me of my sins. I understand at this point I'm in hell. I can't take it. He kept going. So repeat, over and over and over. I couldn't even block out what was happening. It was like I was watching and witnessing and feeling everything. When he was done, all I could do was cry. My husband sat on my lap. He said he's sorry. He tried to kiss me. I ended up biting his lip. I caused him to bleed. Y'all see how we deal with emails? This is just a drop in the bucket. This is what we get. He put me in the shower. He laid there. Let's fast forward. I heard Straightway's music. That's when things started to end for me. I was able to get up, walk out of the bathroom, lay in the bed. I finally woke from the hallucinations, told my husband. He starts to cry. I ask him what's wrong. He told me it wasn't a dream. And the reason for me hearing the music is because he said he realized he messed up. He should have been helping me, not hurting me. So he stated at this point, he had no idea what to do because this wasn't her husband's first encounter with sexual assault. He had had a terrible past in his childhood that allowed demons such as these to enter. When he was 9, his dad, who rarely came around, left him in the house, gave him a beer, weed, a gun, and porn. And ever since then, he's been battling sex demons. He's admitted to sexual addiction and addiction to porn. It's a horrible story. She goes on to share even more occurrences. Hey, the next morning he finds out somebody says he tried to rape her. Another woman, of course. So there was a big investigation. Eventually everything was dropped. Can you imagine this roller coaster ride for her? This is their first year in their marriage. 3 years later, before they get into the faith, he confesses, the friend girl that spent the night that was too intoxicated to drive while all of my family was upstairs, I was molesting her. And another incident, and another incident, and another, all the way through. She needs help getting rid of this sexual demon. She wants deliverance. She wants to receive the Holy Spirit. Shortly after all his confessions and laying out what he's done, I'll leave that off. While trying to make this work, he's recently started the process of trying to do polygyny. What a broken circumstance. Y'all know who got this email, right? Well, who we pass it to? Elder Becker. Straight up the chain. They ain't even replying. What is it? Yeah, black woman, black man. Right? Just another curse. Just another broken family. What about this one? Let's go here. She says, hey, I'm 33 weeks pregnant. My husband's a man that seeks to serve Yah in all he does. He's tried and worked with me on my healing, but he does not want me in his family because my behavior and my disrespect has made him believe that I'm wicked and I don't live for Yah. He's also married to my sister wife. He requests the custody of our daughter. We all live together. We made the definite decision of separating about a month ago. He's asking me to leave as soon as his seed is born and not even breastfeed because I'm unhealthy, sick, and wicked. She says, which are true statements, but I'm seeking healing and Yah's will with all my heart. I've made countless mistakes, and I despise and hate what has allowed me to honor and serve, what has allowed me to dishonor and do Yah this way. I myself in circumstances have displayed wickedness, and I don't listen to my emotions. I don't want to listen to my emotions override me. He handles the money. I place myself in debt. I yearn to be better. I try to work on my issues. I begged him, implored him in all ways that I could. Please don't make this decision about separating. He's convinced on his behalf he only wants his daughter and for me to respect the rules of his house until she is born and leave after. What can I say? Nothing. You get no reply. Absolutely no reply. And, you know, it's like with sorrow and anguish that I read them. It's not with arrogance. It's not, you know, with any form of condemning. It's so merciful of our good Yah not to allow these things to manifest across the board, not to turn our minds over to the demons that we've served, you know, to draw us unto him. It's amazing. Let's go to the next excerpt. All right, so I highlighted on this email, and I jumped around. So it says, everything moved too fast. He asked me to marry him, and I accepted. From the beginning, my husband was able to perceive that I was going to be a difficult case to handle for the amount of healing that I requested. I was not submissive. I was very ignorant and disrespectful. I was like a man, very literally, from the way that I talked to how I behaved. I didn't take heed to what he said, as I should have. I had no problem surrendering my life to Yah in the physical aspect. I stopped talking to the friends I had, all men that lived in wickedness. I deleted all social media. I stopped listening to music. I changed the way I dressed. I changed my number. I only spoke to my mother, brother, sister, and occasionally my father. I started to read the Bible, which, oddly enough, mother, brother, sister, father, even that's too much sometimes. Sometimes. She says, I started to read the Bible, pray. I started to try and uphold all the commandments. I started to seek a way out of the military. However, it was my own mind, my own way of thinking, and my will that I was not able to surrender.
You see the schizophrenia? You see the mind control? I want to listen and obey my husband after all he's asked, but it's been a challenge. And to become the woman he needs and for his vision is a task that I'm not able to achieve, she says. I was also not 100% honest with my husband when I met him, and I didn't share with him some acts of sexual perversion that I participated in before my past. We got married. We made a verbal promise to Yah and between each other to be together in this lifetime and fight for righteousness forever. However, I got pregnant, and I told him about these instances of perversion after, of course, she got pregnant. I lied to him by not telling him this before, and he decided that our relationship was not going to work and that he had made a mistake even choosing me. Not only this triggered his decision, but he was seeking to stay on a camping site. You know, better to dwell on the roof than with a contentious woman, right? Seeking to stay on a camping site for a few months while he was able to save up some money and he could find a way to start over. But all, she says, of that she did was with a negative attitude and not with a supportive mindset. He was disappointed, and shortly after, I realized my behavior wasn't right. And that if Yah was guiding him to put us onto a camping site, then I should have been thankful and supportive as a wife. This was before he found out that I had lied to him about my previous life. We also had trouble with my mom and my family. See? I didn't even know we were going there. The connections that you kept, right? My mother was in disapproval at the beginning of our relationship, and she thought what every woman from the world thinks about us. And I'm sure I don't need to get into much detail. You already gave a lot of detail, right? Mother Jennifer, how in the world does this have anything to do with Willie Lynch and mind control?
Sister Ashley, because the curses are still continuing. They're manifesting themselves in different ways, but the root is still the same. You know, the root is still the same. And I think we miss that, you know, the fact of where it has come from. And these curses are continuing to carry on. But we don't consider Willie Lynch as a source at all. It's demonically inspired. It's demonically driven. So that's why we're tying all this in. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Next expert. Don't worry. Y'all lift up holy hands. Hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
It's not heavy in here because we're building. We're building.
Yes.
All right. This one says, when I met my husband, I had $5,000 in debt. I was making enough money to handle it by myself in no time. My husband was not working. He was on vacation. I'm jumping around. He stayed here and there, this house and that house, his uncle, blah, blah, blah. We live separately. You see the issue, right? Then here comes my good credit score, the loan. Everything starts moving all together. And then little before he decides to leave me, we join bank accounts. All right, loan was made. We maxed out credit cards. By the time we decided to leave, my debt's tripled. Now during this whole time, he's away. He's gone. All I did was to beg him and forgive him, to forgive me. This is very sorrowful. I'm reading it. I'm not reading it sarcastic. I prayed. I repented. I sought forgiveness from Yah for not being transparent to my husband. I sought guidance. I was terrified to leave my children, terrified me to my bones. I fought the feeling. I prayed to do Yah's will. I didn't share my situation with anybody. I decided to speak to my mom. My husband blocked me. I was only able to connect with him through email. He says my wickedness and sickness can only destroy him, which is true, because during this whole time I was praying to be healed and be truly renewed, on and on and on. Broken, right? Broken. Broken. Just rambling in an email. Just begging for change without being willing to change, you know? But guess what? These emails don't come from community homes. This type of scenario, this brokenness does not come from any community homes. Nope. Anyone that is building the nation, right? Anyone supporting pastor. Building homes, growing gardens, coming out of her, changing their ways, right? So let's go to a testimony that does come straight out of this ministry from a committed couple and a committed family with the title, To Yah Will Be the Glory for All and in All Things, Mother Jennifer. Every once in a while, pause for me, okay? Let's hear this email.
Yes, ma'am. She says, greetings. May favor, grace, love, and the shalom of our Abba Yahweh rest upon you both. I write this email with so much gratitude and thankfulness for Yahweh leading my master to the Straightway Truth Ministry led by Pastor Charles Dow Jr. I remember the day when my master was praying one evening due to his heart being troubled about the Michael Brown shooting and all the things that were happening to black people. He did ask the Father what was happening. At the same time, I was in the front room looking for a documentary to watch. I stumbled across a video that a woman was reading and speaking about the curses in Deuteronomy 28. My master came in and asked me, what was I watching? That was his answer to prayer. One video led to another. By this time, we were so hungry for the truth, we started to search for more. My master began to pray for a mentor in regards to the community and living set apart. That's when he saw Pastor Dow's video. I remember my master calling me to come watch it with him. He told me, hey, dear, I found something. The video he was watching, Pastor was working in the garden area, and he was speaking about vertical gardening and planting in gutters. We continued to watch more and more videos by Pastor Dow, and I started listening to Sister to Sister. The truth of what he would preach and teach pierced my heart deep. I then began listening to the Sister to Sister broadcast. The first time I listened, I had just arrived home from work. I didn't get out of the car. I was parked in our driveway, bawling, tears of joy, pain, all kinds of emotions ran rampant through my mind. I remember thinking, I've never heard women speak like this. It was real, straight up, raw, like, here it is, sisters, what you gonna do with this type of talk. Sister Ashley?
Hey, I know my sister. I know who you are. So I'm reaching back. I'm going way back. Look, it ain't too far. It ain't too many years, but it's your day. I'm gonna play this just for you, my sister. Y'all ready? You ain't ready, Chef. Put this in your list, Chef. Come on now.
If you want to know where I'm going.
Come on, say it.
Hallelujah. Hey, we gotta get every age group and honor every generation. Y'all know Mother Stallings only listen to Mahalia Jackson. Only. All right, jumping back to this email. Let's build. Let's talk about this goodness of our Yah. Go ahead.
She says, I was thanking Jesus for blessing me with what I needed to become better. I was already mad that I had been deceived by this Western Christian mindset. There were not any true humble examples in the churches I could look into. So to hear what was spoken about was wonderful to me because I knew what I longed for and prayed for. I asked Yah for mothers to help me be a better wife, mother, sister, servant. This ministry made me take a look at what was really inside of me and how I desperately needed to change then and now. The scales began to fall off my eyes. I was faced with the cold reality of how wicked my heart was, how vain, religious, fearful, angry, bitter, selfish, prideful, rebellious, self-rejection, fear of man, rejection from the womb, gluttonous, entitled, and addictions. That's just the few that I have mentioned, but there's more I will become free of. Hallelujah. But I was a real hot mess. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, do you believe for it? We hit the next one. I believe whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your circumstance, this ain't Christianity. This is an almighty Yah. Hallelujah. The God of heaven. Here we go.
I believe, Mother Jennifer. Keep reading. Let's see what happens.
Hallelujah. She says, I was not at all what I had believed myself to be. I can't say enough about what Yah has done for me and my family through this ministry. Our first feast we were invited to attend was the Feast of Passover in 2018. It was wonderful. We met Pastor, and he came out and greeted us. He was very kind, smiling, hospitable man. There were brothers that helped us, Deacon Bell and Brother Bud, Brother Vincent, helping us. Little Freeman at the time helped us put our bags in our tent. During that feast, I was healed of a lower back injury I sustained in 2014 while bending over to pick up something from the floor. I heard a pop in my low back and saw a surgeon after an MRI confirming the ruptured bulging disc. Of course, they wanted to do surgery. My master and I said no. For 4 years, I suffered from horrible back pain. I became addicted to pain medicine until I got my healing. When Pastor Corey spoke to me, he asked me if I was ready to make some changes, if I remember correctly. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you are already healed. When we got back to San Diego, I had no longer any more back pain. I was healed indeed, hallelujah. I have not had low back pain at all. Yah, glory, hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah, keep going. It's good stuff.
It was at this feast I met Rachel Fairley and her sons, and we became great friends and brothers. Our families began fellowshipping around the end of May that year, and here we are today. She's going to talk about the move. She said, it seemed like all hell broke loose within me even more when my master decided to really join in with the Fairley family. I knew I wanted to come out of her and be separate, but was not prepared mentally. In 2019, my master made the decision we would spend Tabernacles in Arizona with the Fairley family and begin to make the move there. We started to do just that. Still kept my job up until COVID hit in March 2020. My father was ill on a ventilator in March. I was able to get time off work for a few weeks. By the end of week two, I got a call from the manager of my department. She asked me if I was coming back, and they could not hold my position due to the crisis. I busted out in tears, and fear gripped me immensely. The life I once knew was almost to a complete end. The manager had to remind me of what I had been telling everyone on the job about me moving to Kentucky and that it's okay to let go and to move on. When she said that, I felt calm. Wow, Yah used the heathen to remind me of what I had already been confessing. My notice was given, and it was over. She said, I continued to struggle with great fear, which was connected to control. One day, I was binge-watching the Berean Moments with Brother Kabir. I got to Mother Carol's Berean Moment, and it changed my life. That video started me on my fasting journey. Mother stated that she fasted and prayed 3 times, and that struck me so deep. I said within myself, that's it, pray and fast, so I could get free of fear that entangled me. I remember Pastor's series on giving the Hasatan legal ground and how sin, iniquity, and transgression keeps the Hasatan with the right to stay. By the power of the Ruach, I did just that, fasted and prayed. I also desire that the fruit of the spirit of self-control would be developed in me. I had a sugar addiction. I overate all the time, just gluttonous. Once I started fasting, I started getting deliverance from these demons that had a foothold on me. In December of 2019, I weighed 268 pounds. Today, I weigh 180 pounds even. I haven't even seen these numbers since I was 18 years old, and I'm 50 years old now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's Yah that worked his grace in me, that only through him came the ability to make these changes. Faith without works is dead. Yah helped me to get to a place where I had to do something like Pastor says, be proactive, oppose the Hasatan's kingdom, damn it. Sister Ashley?
Hey, can everybody say Yah?
Yah.
You've been good to me. All right, here we go. Y'all, what I listen to, y'all tell my old soul, right? This is my playlist. Hallelujah. Let's jump back to this email. It's beautiful. We're jumping to the children, her children. Come on.
She says, being a part of Straightway Ministry and a part of a community, it has enabled our boys to have strong, concrete examples. Our brothers that live this set-apart life like they do. This is the most beautiful thing. The seed of my master, his youngest of four brothers from the seed of his dad, truly is our miracle child. I knew he was a boy when I found out I was pregnant with him. I begged my master to allow his name, and I'm not going to say his name, because he was a preacher of righteousness. He liked the name also. He allowed that name to remain. Hallelujah. I have seen a tremendous amount of growth in my master's son. He really has a love relationship with Yah. He regularly seeks deliverance. He loves the word, and he's always listening to Pastor Dow videos or Pastor Corey, Teacher Eric, or Teacher Shane, and building himself up. He has had many chains broken off of his life because of his desire to grow in Yah. He pursues Yah. It is a beautiful thing to see and witness his growth and love for the Most High in sincere, steadfast pursuit. I'm very grateful for the brotherhood he has and the relationships he's developed with some of the young brothers close in age.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. Sound that shofar. This is a young black male. Sound that shofar. Back to the email. Thank you. Breaking every chain. Go ahead.
She says, our other two sons are a blessing to my master and myself. My master shared with me something I want to share, which he has given me permission to do so. When his ex-wife divorced him, she did not allow him to see his three sons. which brought on great anguish of heart. One day, Yah gave him a vision of three boys running and hugging him, and they were younger in the vision. My master stated that it could not have been his sons from the first wife because they were past the age of the boys in the vision. So now we know and experience the grace and faithfulness of the Most High and restoring what seemed to have been a loss. He now has gained three more sons.
Hallelujah.
Two of our sons didn't come from my womb, they are our boys, and their lives have been impacted by this ministry to the deliverances they've received. They have developed friendships with other young brothers in their age group, and they love coming the straight way. In my closing, I'm truly grateful for our pastors, elders, teachers, deacons, and all their ashayas. This ministry has changed our lives forever. I am currently the healthiest I have been, more freer than I've ever experienced. I have been healed of many things. This would not have happened if my master would not have prayed. Thank you, Jesus, for my Israelite family and straightway. Blessing be forever upon all of Israel. Shalom, beloved.
Hallelujah. Y'all hear this? I mean, that's amazing, y'all. What I call it? Phenomenon. Phenomenon. Mother Jennifer, end the show, and I'll play a song when you finish.
Sister Ashley, I'm going to keep it simple and say something that you said a couple weeks ago. Really praise your way through the dead season. Don't let the Hasatan silence you.
All right. Bless y'all. Thank y'all so much for listening. I pray it's helped you in some kind of way. Don't forget how important it is to break free from ancestral sins. It's like they're personal to you anyway. It's like having them as your own anyway. It's like something you have done, yet you have not experienced. You get it? So, hey, y'all going to break every chain. I'm looking forward to this upcoming Higher Heights for the ministry, upcoming Breaking of Chains. If we go higher, I hope you go with us. Let's go.
So blinded by your grace, you are the truth that lights my way. Everyone's asking how I'm smiling, waiting to make me smile. Lord, you've given me my freedom, so I will sing and testify. So in the name of Jesus,
hey, come on.
And he gave me a new name with the way he changed my story. I just redefined my name. So when they ask me how I made it, I'll just point and say it's you. Cause I'm standing here today. Cause I can live it back. Also
I'm free. I'm free. I got my
praise Lord. This is a wonderful something. I'm just saying thank you.
Testify,
oh, in the name of Jesus, oh, Lord,
Is the end. It's called Let My People Dance. Hallelujah. You better.